Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 1 and reading verses 39 to 56. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. So for the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, we come to Luke's account of the meeting of Mary and Elizabeth and see how it is that they responded and how we ought to respond to God's redemptive acts in the coming of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, both ladies speak under the inspiration of God, as is evident by the fact that the scripture tells us that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's really a preface in the scriptures to when God is about to speak. Through the prophets, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke. Not things that arose out of their own mind, but things that God wanted to communicate to those around them. And so Mary and Elizabeth both are filled with the Holy Spirit, so that the very words of God are received by us from their lips. So we're to respond because we cannot view these truths and announcements as mere objective truths, historical facts. There are many facts in this world that we read about, that we hear about, but these facts are not just given so that we may store them up in our heads, and then when people ask us, we can give the right answer. That's not the purpose for which they're given. These truths are given to infuse us with confidence and strength and joy in understanding that God is active in this world. God is accomplishing his redemptive purposes. And all the promises that he made in the Old Testament have been fulfilled, historically fulfilled. God has kept his promises. And those promises include you and include me. They're to do with our sin. They're to do with our alienation from God. They're to do with our coming to be at peace with God, to be his children, to be given the right to be called the children of God. These truths about us being part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, part of his kingdom, to have places reserved for us in heaven, to have all of our future planned out by God and guaranteed by God. Hebrews speaks about those promises and their impact on us in terms of Abraham, that they are an anchor for the soul. That's what they are, an anchor for the soul. In this world of a tumultuous sea, where we're tossed around this way and that way and threatened in many, many different ways, here is the stability that we should seek. Here's the stability that we ought to find comfort and joy in. And this is what we have in this passage before us. And as you can see, it's filled with emotions. Mary and Elizabeth are not going through this in a dry way, just exchanging things that that God has done in them as a matter-of-fact way. No, they're absolutely involved, absolutely taken up with us. And for our purposes, God has included that in the sacred record so that we can be there. People speak about, you know, being a fly on the wall. Well, that's what we are. We're a fly on the wall of everything that God has done from the beginning to the end. That you are privy to those things so that you can rejoice in those things, that you can celebrate those things, that you can thank God every day for those things and find the comfort that he intends for us. People, God, this season has to be personal. I mean, it has to have an impact on your life. It ought to bring us joy and peace, apart from all the trappings of that this season brings. There has to be in those quiet moments in your life and in mine, whether we're young or whether we're old, just an absolute wonderment that God has done these things for us, for you and for me. And so here's an opportunity that we have to reflect on those things and to enter into that situation of the meeting of Elizabeth and Mary. Well, how did they respond? Well, first of all, it just brought untold joy to Elizabeth. Here we have a meeting, as I said, of the generations. Elizabeth is much older than Mary, related. And of course, she's a wife of the priest, Zacharias. You might think that there would be some resentment that God would choose Mary for this role, yet we find nothing of that in Elizabeth. There's no hint of that. Because she's just so full of joy, taken up with what God is doing, recognizing what God is doing, recognizing that the promises that he made to their forefathers in the Old Testament now are becoming reality. They weren't just words. Now, God's promises are for always. Now, she was full of joy. And being under the influence of the Holy Spirit begins by saying, "Blessed are you, Mary, among women." As I said, just imagine that. She's a senior, and here's this young girl, probably less than 20, and she is saying to her that she is, "Blessed are you, Mary, among women." And what is she saying? She's not saying that Mary's a real bright young lady and she's, miles ahead of her generation. No, that's not what she's saying. She's saying how blessed you are to be an instrument in God's hands. That God is fulfilling these wonderful promises that began in Genesis 3:15, and he's choosing you, through you, to fulfill those promises. The joy that she has is the fulfillment of the promises, not the instrument by which they are accomplished. That's what Elizabeth is so happy about, joyful about. In fact, we hinted at that when we looked at Zechariah praying before in the Holy of Holies, and the angel saying, "Your prayers are heard, and you're going to have a son." And if you remember, I asked, what was Zechariah praying for? I mean, was he praying, I want a son, Lord? You know, we're old and we haven't got a son like Abraham. In fact, Abraham, even when he was praying, when God told him he's going to have a son, Abraham wasn't concerned about me and my family and Sarah and I don't have a child and it's really difficult and you know, would you give us a child? No. It was the fact that the redemptive promises of God would not carry on without an heir. That's what he was concerned about. And so Zacharias, yes, was praying, but he wasn't praying, oh Lord, give me a son or give me a child. What he wanted God to do was fulfill the promises that God had made in the Old Testament, the consolation of Israel. And God said, he is doing that. And by the way, you're going to be part of that because you're going to have a son and he's going to play a very vital role. He's going to be that messenger preparing the way of the Lord. So things are in motion. They've always been in motion. And so he wasn't thinking of that, was he? He wasn't thinking of himself, because when God says you're going to have a child, he couldn't believe it. And so Elizabeth understands the fulfillment of God's promises. And so she looks at Mary and she's just so blessed and thankful that the wheels are in motion. And now she can see it with her own eyes. And here's Mary, and she's with child. And she's just, as I said, over the moon about it. Which is the way that we ought to be, right? We ought to be excited about what God is doing. And we have a record that we can read from beginning to the end of what God has done. And we ought to be able to see it in our own lives, in our own generation. See, there's no point. Always want to go back to the New Testament, back to the Old Testament. God is as active as he was then. It's the same plan. Of course, yes, the focus is on the death of the Lord Jesus Christ because that sealed everything. But God's plan continues in our day and age. But then do we see it? Or do we think, oh, everything's, you know, tamped down, nothing much is happening, the church is not very strong, and we say all kinds of things. And the kingdom of God is advancing. In our midst, it's advancing. And so it's good for us to see that, good for us to rejoice in that, and remind one another of that. Without any, as I said, personal goals that we have, there's no resentment on Elizabeth's part. It's not about who is God choosing to do various things. It's the fact that God is choosing to do anything. That's what we're thankful for. And so here before Elizabeth is Mary, and she's just so blessed to be able to see it with her own eyes. And she's encourages Mary with that, right? Blessed are you, Mary. Think about what God is doing. Don't let all the trappings dampen that for you, right? As I said, with Mary, you know, what are parents going to say? What are friends are going to say? What is Joseph going to say? All kinds of obstacles that the devil brings. No, but she encourages her, strengthens her. That's why she went, of course, to Elizabeth, because of all the pressure that was coming. And she goes to Elizabeth, stays with her for 3 months, that she could encourage and strengthen her. Yes, we have to see God's work in our midst. And we're to encourage those that God is using in certain ways, to encourage them to give all of their strength to serve in the Lord, to see themselves as blessed by being used by God. No envy should be coming. We shouldn't try and be outdoing them so that we get in front. No, wherever God chooses and whoever God chooses, we ought to be glad about that. And we ought to encourage them to do that. But furthermore, she was joyful about Mary's son. Mary was an instrument of God. But the focus was on her son. The focus was the one, the fruit of her womb, This is what she's excited about. This is what stirred the emotions in Elizabeth, that God had sent his son into the world. I mean, that was something that just mind-blowing that that would happen. Yes, he sent leaders in the Old Testament, great and mighty leaders like Moses and David and others. But now he sent his son. And he takes on human form. And there he is in Mary's womb. That's what she's excited about. And that's what, remember, in later on, after the Lord Jesus Christ has been brought to the temple, in fact, that Simeon takes him up in his arms, and he's just over the moon. I mean, so over the moon that he almost kind of recites the Heidelberg Catechism. What is my only comfort in life and in death? It's this. Holding in my arms God's promised deliverance. And what a way. He did it through his son. He took on humanity for us. And he was ready to go. He said, I'm ready. I'm ready to die now. Because I'm all set. Right? He was so satisfied with that. Right? And each of us should be, right? Doesn't matter the struggles that we face in this life, the fact that we have the Lord Jesus Christ, because the fact that God has done this for us, our lives are on solid ground. Let not the devil destabilize us and cause us to chase this and chase that before we find that comfort that the Catechism talks about. That you have that in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever thanked him for that? Have you ever prayed to God and said, thank you, Lord, because you are my rock. You are my salvation. And I can read about that in the scriptures. Mary was joyful, and yet it goes even further. She says, when you were coming, the baby leapt in my womb. Not some natural a movement of the baby in the womb. No, she says, the baby leapt in my womb because you, my Lord, is getting closer and closer to us. Now, John the Baptist rejoiced that the Savior that the generations are looking for, those who are looking for the consolation of Israel, and in this particular case, his parents, was drawing near. It was going from promise to fulfillment. Now they could see it with their own eyes. And though John the Baptist obviously couldn't see, but nevertheless, he recognized that the Savior was close to him. And he leapt for joy. How much more so us, that can read, as I said, from the beginning in Genesis all the way through the scriptures, can read the whole story. How much more should we be filled with joy and thanksgiving to God that he has done these things for me, and they continue to be a blessing to us. And then Elizabeth says, but why should I be blessed with this privilege of having Mary come to her? I mean, what a humble statement to make. She wasn't saying this is right and proper. I mean, after all, I'm the wife of the priest, right? And she should come to our house and we should be a prominent part of it. Her attitude is, why me? Why me? That I should be privileged to be part of this and to witness it. I witness these things happening. And she was just so thankful to God that he permitted her to do that. And as I said, how much more privileged are we that have been given the scriptures that lay out, give us all the details. All the details. from the original promise in Genesis 3:15 and all the way to the fulfillment. We can read every little detail of it. Sometimes we think we don't really get that. Because I imagine if I was able to ask you, would you rather be, I don't know, present when Jesus was born, or when he was crucified, or when he was transfigured, than we are now, people would say, yeah, I'd like to be there. I'd like to have lived in the New Testament and saw and heard the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ puts that aside. That it's those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, though they haven't seen him. Remember, that's what he said to Thomas. Because Thomas finally said he believed. And he says, you believe because you've seen me. Before you saw me, you didn't believe that I'd resurrected from the dead. But now that you see me, you believe in me. He said, blessed are those that haven't seen me and yet believe. So we're not to be pushed to the periphery as though we are not as blessed by the people that we're looking at. No, as I said, we are blessed because we have the whole story written for you to read. And we ought to read that. And it ought to bring us the same joy. And it ought to touch our emotions. So often today, emotions are aroused by external stimulus, whether it's music, whether it's all kinds of things that go on. There's no choirs and music here between Mary and Elizabeth. But I tell you, the joy far excelled anything that you see. Because it was genuine, because it was based on God's truth. Christians are to be emotional. Absolutely, we're to be emotional. Who cannot be emotional in light of what God has done for us? But it arises from the truth of what God has done, rather than stimulus from others. People of God, these ladies were just full of joy, and those words came out from their mouths, inspired by God. But not only Elizabeth, of course, but Mary too. Mary speaks about the fact that God has chosen her. And she says, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. That's what she views herself as. It's not that I'm a child prodigy and I'm so great and the future is just wide open for me. I must be special because God chose me rather than other people. No. That's not the way she thought. Moses didn't think that way, even though he might have had reason to, because he was raised in Pharaoh's courts, but he didn't look at it that way. Absolutely didn't. In fact, he is described as the meekest man on earth. I mean, all the things that God did through him, rescue his people from the clutches of Pharaoh and humiliate Pharaoh and Egypt, and he is the meekest man on earth. So that when his brother and sister rise up against him in Number 16, he doesn't have them arrested. Absolutely not. God has to intervene on his behalf. Or when the 250 rose up against Moses, he didn't have them arrested. He didn't punish them. No, he asked them to go before the Lord, to the tabernacle. Now, Mary was a humble servant of God. She understood that in and of herself, she was nothing. And yet God chose her. Why does God do that? Because he wants to focus upon what he is doing rather than the instrument that he's using. If he used a mighty person or mighty woman, well known, then people would be attracted to her. They would give her all the praise. But this young lady No. She was blessed because God was using her. And she understood it. And that's why every one of us should be like that. Whatever God decides to use us to accomplish. As Jesus says, when you've done everything that is required of you, you should say we are worthless servants. In the sense that we did nothing beyond what we were required to do. We did what was our duty. That's not over and beyond. Absolutely not. But again, we see, sadly in the churches, we don't necessarily see that, right? We see preachers pushing themselves to the front so everyone looks at them, promote their name, their teaching, or churches do that, or movements do that. It doesn't sit right, does it? We ought to be meek instruments in God's hands. Without him, we are nothing. But when he works through us, then his name is glorified. That's what should happen. As the Apostle Paul puts it, he speaks to the churches. He says, I betroth you to Christ, not to myself. I don't want you to be followers of me. I have betrothed you to Christ. He's the bridegroom. He's the one that you ought to love. He's the one that you ought to serve. Not me. No, I'm just an instrument. Now that should be the attitude of all believers. Whatever God calls us to do, turn the attention of the people to their Lord and their Savior. Not to yourself. Absolutely not to yourself. And so Mary humbles herself over this gracious choice of God to choose her. What is there in me that you think that you need? Well, nothing actually. Nothing. In your weakness, my strength will be seen. And so as the scripture says about all of us, in fact, not many rich, not many influential, not many powerful were chosen by God, but the lowly and the weak. Because through them, there's no question that it's not their strength, it's not their wisdom, it's not their power, it's the power of God at work in them. And that's what we want. We want God to be glorified. And the reason Mary is full of joy is because what God has done. He who is mighty has done great things for me. And what are those things? Well, we can read them in the Psalms, as we did read some parts in the Psalms. He has regarded my lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me. Holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. No, it's God that is doing these things through her. And she is excited about that. She is blessed by that. But she's not the only one, as she says. His mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. Each and every one of us can humble ourselves before God. And say, Lord, use me. Use even me. Whatever purpose you have, whatever work that you have for me to do, I want to do it. And I want to do it out of gratitude. As the scripture said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. Just to serve God, even in that capacity, is just a wonderful place. Like the Queen of Sheba says to Solomon, when she came and to hear his wisdom, and she looked at his servants and she said, how blessed they must be. Just be in that environment. And that's the way it is with us. Just to be servants of God. God leading and guiding us and giving us the strength to serve him and to proclaim the gospel. What a wonderful privilege that is. There's no more higher privilege than that in this world. And yet again, the temptation is that the devil leads us away from that to want to make you something. And so we pursue that. And this falls down somewhere and neglected as though it's inferior. Now, there's nothing more superior than being a faithful witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing greater that's going to come out of your mouth than the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the commending of his love to those that are perishing in their sins. Now, Mary trusted in God. There were others who ridiculed that hope, but no, she clung to it with all of her heart. He has shown his strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones. He has exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. No, his covenant faithfulness. Years and years, decades and centuries of God's promises now are coming to fruition. God is a covenantally faithful God. And everything that he said has come about. Everything that he promised has been fulfilled. And so she expresses, as I said, all of that in that when she's filled with the Holy Spirit. And that song that we call the Magnificat, she sings to God with all of her heart, with all of her emotions, and all of her love, because she can recognize what God is doing. And she has been blessed to be part of that. People of God, as I said, this season, it has to be emotional. It has to be filled with joy. And like Elizabeth and Mary, we ought to enter into that joy, personally into that joy. God did all of that for me and for you. And God continues to promote that wonderful salvation that has been accomplished and fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have this glorious message to tell the world. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring good news. That's what we are. He sent us into all the world to preach that gospel. And we have that gospel to preach. And we ought to do it with emotion. We ought to do it with people that have tasted of that good gift, people that are filled with joy, and what we say is what they ought to see in us. We can't do it in a matter-of-fact way. How can you? That God himself would take on flesh and come down and die for us on the cross so that we might have our sins forgiven, that we might be his children, that we might live with him in heaven for eternity, and we can do that in a cold and detached manner? Absolutely not. You can do it without emotion. You can do it without celebrating and thanking God that he would bestow his love on you and me that are nothing in his sight, in and of ourselves. You can't do that. No. If we're going to do it with any effectiveness, it has to come from the heart. It has to come from a heart that is satisfied. Has to come from a heart that is just bursting with gratitude for what God has done for us and how it satisfies our every longing. Our life is fulfilled because of the cross, because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Like Simeon, whether God calls us home today or 5 years, 10 years' time, we are absolutely fulfilled. He has done everything for us, and we want to rejoice in that and to tell others of that joy. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for granting us a detailed account of everything that you have done for us. And our Father, it is indeed marvelous before our eyes. And it humbles our hearts that you would set your love upon us, sinners such as we are. And our Father, then we pray that that would settle into our minds and hearts, that that would Give us peace that passes understanding, a peace that will keep us from running after the world, making a name for ourselves. Father, our Father, that we rejoice in being true and faithful witnesses and of pointing people to the Lord Jesus Christ. So as John the Baptist said, we must decrease, he must increase. That we want to point people to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, that brings joy and fulfillment and stability into their hearts. Our Father in heaven, make us examples of that, so that they may not only hear these truths, they may see them in us. Our Father, hear our prayers and receive our thanks, for we bring them on the account of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now stand and respond as we sing from the Red Hymnal number 195.